I would like to continue with the subject that we had last Sunday afternoon about offenses, because they're going to come to everyone. And I woke up this morning thinking about someone else. I had been thinking this week, is there an example in the Bible of someone that had an offense come to them, and how did they deal with it, and is it any kind of a lesson for me? And this morning one came to me that I had forgotten. It's in 2 Samuel, the 16th chapter. This picture is Absalom, David's son, has decided that he's going to be king. Yes. Not just has he decided, he's already gone out and had himself set to be king. And he's not satisfied with just that, but now he's going to kill his father so he can for sure be king. And you know, some of the things that come into place with that is hard to imagine. Because you know, the army that he used to come and fight against David and his men, he didn't hire the Egyptians to come. Apparently he got some men that had decided, you know what, whoever is going to be the top, we're going to follow him. And those men must have thought that Absalom would be the king, so they had enough people to have a battle anyhow. And I think of this picture. David has got to work all this in his mind. What is he going to do about this? And as this is in starting about the fifth verse. Remember this story? David's on the run, and Absalom is after him. Yes. And there is a man, his name is Shimei. He has a grudge from way back. He's one of Saul's descendants. So he's not even talking about this with Absalom. He's talking about something from a long ways back. And it says in the 13th, well, let's go down to where it starts. Where was it? 16. In the 16th chapter. And in the fifth verse, it says, Shimei came forth and cursed as he came, and he cast stones at David. You know, David's still really the king, but this man is not concerned about it. And it says he cast stones at him. And it goes on down. You know, some of the men that were with David, they said, I tell you what, we can fix this problem. If you will just give me the word in the 9th verse, he says, let me go over and I'll take off his head. And what is David going to do with this? There's going to be some offenses come into our life. This was quite an offense that came to David. And how does David take it? Look at the 10th verse. It says, the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And I look at this right here. Does it really mean that David thinks God was the one that told him to curse him? Instead, what David was doing, I was looking at this commentary about that. What David's attitude about this was, the Lord is responsible for everything that comes into my life. He allows some things. He causes some things. And what he's doing is, this that is being done to me right now is allowed by God. What an attitude to have when offenses come to us. Yes. To be able to recognize, let me take away the name of the one this isn't Shimei. This is something that God is allowing to happen in my life. He said, you know, if my own son is wanting to kill me, what is this compared to that? And he says in the 12th verse, it may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Yes. Now that's quite an attitude. I'm trying to think about when offenses come to us, how do I handle it? The commentary for that said, there is nothing more proper to quiet a gracious soul under affliction than an eye to the hand of God in it. I've got these adversities coming into my life. but I recognize they're all happening because God's allowing them, said he comforts himself with hopes that God would in some way or other bring good to him out of his affliction, would balance the trouble itself, and recompense his patience under it. So this was David's attitude. Let him alone. This trouble that he's causing into my life, this offense that is coming to me, God's allowing it for some purpose. And another one that I thought before we get started with the message was Job. He was recognized to be a perfect and an upright man. And we can say offenses started coming to him. He had, and it tells us who did it. The Sabaeans took the oxen and killed the servants. It says the fire of God. Now, you know, this is God himself that's causing this trouble to come to him. Fire of God, whether it was a lightning strike or whatever, killed the servants. Only one escapes, and they take and also kills the sheep. The Chaldeans take the camels, and they kill the servants. And now Job has all this information to process. He's had some offenses come into his life. Also, one more thing, here comes a great wind, hits the house where all of his children are together, and all of them die. And Job's processing information. And what does he say? He says he sinned not with his lips. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm thinking for when offenses come to me, it's going to be a big help if I try to take away the name of where it's coming from and realizing, you know what? The Lord is allowing this thing for me for some kind of purpose. And it doesn't just end with that. You ever read when Job's three friends came to him? It said at first they saw that his trouble was so great that they did not say anything for 7 days. They were so touched by it. But you know what happened when they did get to speak? Supposedly they were his comforters, but what they said was, I've never seen a righteous man suffer like this. Talk about offenses. So they say, tell us, what have you done that has caused this to happen? You know, that's some trouble that would come from a friend when you would consider he's been quiet for 7 days and he's going to be a big help to me now when he comforts me. But all these kind of things had happened to him. And I look at those two instances and I say, Lord, help me when offenses come into my life. So I want to think about this verse, Luke 17 and 1. It's impossible, but that offenses will come. In other words, we're not going to get around it. They're going to come to us. When other people offend me, there's things that I need to remember. And last week we talked about these, and I want to look over a few of them and then move on to something else for this week. I have to remember God is the one that knows the thoughts and the intents of the person. You know, Jesus tells us he perceived their thoughts when they were posing a question. You know, the question itself seemed reasonable, but Jesus saw what was behind it, what they were trying to be able to cause to happen by the question, and he was able to deal with it. But what he wants us to let us know is that is over in his part. Because many times I'd even notice I'm asking, Lord, for myself, I got a fresh year that I'm just starting out on. Lord, help me to learn from these things real quick, because when an offense comes, I have a direction that I can take where I look at it and I say, I know why they did that. I know what their intent was. And it really what I need to realize is I can't see very deep. God's the one that can, and I hand it to him. Remember where we had the verse, man looks on the outward appearance. God's able to search the heart. And help me to be able to leave that over in God's part. Some other verses that we looked at last week. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. For me to realize when a situation happens to it, Lord, help me to show mercy to that, because I want your mercy to be shown back to me. Yes, amen. Another verse we had was, as you would the golden rule, as you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. How I would like for them to treat me if I have offended. Lord, help me to be able to do the same back to them. And then the verse, Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. What I realize from that verse is, it's easy for me to place judgment on how somebody is treating me. But help me to turn it around to where, you know what, one day I may be the offender. And how would I like, what kind of mercy would I like to have shown toward me? In, what does it say, Matthew 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive. So I need to have a forgiving attitude. Why is it? Because I need the Lord to forgive me also. So there is a verse over in Ephesians. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, when offenses come to me, I need to realize how much I've been forgiven of and be willing to forgive the offender. And the story that I thought about was over in Matthew 18. When the Lord of the servant looked at the debt that was owed, and he saw that that debt was so great, was 10,000 talents or a huge amount was owed, saw he was not going to be able to pay it even though he was begging for mercy, and was going to sell him and his family and all and try to put some toward the debt. And he said he was moved with compassion. And not only did he give him 10 years to pay it, said he just forgave the debt. You know, when I have offenses come to me, I need to remember the debt that I have been forgiven. Yes. It will help me. But you know, it is so easy for the devil to try to keep us, make my focus go in a different direction, to where I can't even think of what I was just forgiven of. This man was forgiven of a huge debt. And in the picture, I kind of almost see him so happy. And he's heading home to tell him about it when he sees somebody that owes him a little bit. And all of a sudden, he forgets all of this that I just... You would think that immediately there'd be nothing else in his mind but, oh, sir, don't you worry about that at all. I've just been forgiven of so much more. But instead, what does it say? That same servant went out, and when he couldn't be paid the small debt that he was owed, took him by the throat, put him in prison. There's a lesson for me in that. Offenses, it's impossible, but that offenses are going to come to every one of us. Lord, help me to be able to see how to go through it in the right way. And one of the best things that'll help me is to realize I've been forgiven a huge debt myself from the Lord. To realize also God has all of this in His control. He allowed Job to go through all those things when he himself said Job was a perfect and an upright man. And he allowed those things to come into his life. Do I look at the offense different when I have offended compared to when others have offended me? It's impossible that offenses are going to come. But you know, there's another little piece to that verse. It's impossible, but that offenses are going to come. But then it says, woe to him from whom that offense cometh. Now, you know, it's real easy for me to say, okay, that person that has offended me is going to pay the price. You remember Stephen, when he's about to be stoned, woe to him by whom this offense cometh. Stephen easily could have said, I tell you what, y'all are going to catch it for doing this. But did he do that? No. What he said was, don't lay this sin to their charge. Lord, I'd like for you to forgive this debt that they're about to accumulate right here. And when I see this, you know, that's a pretty serious thing that it's talking about. Woe to him by whom this cometh. Says it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. So this has given a pretty serious charge to the offender. And I don't want to spend my time thinking about the people that offend me. But you know what I'd like to do is attach it to myself. Yes. Lord, that's a pretty serious charge if I happen to offend someone else. You know, 2024, my calendar's still pretty fresh. I haven't had much dealings with others, much relationships with others that can cause me problem. What safeguards can I have in my life that would guard me from offending others? There was a word that I saw in the Bible. It's only in there one time. This word is used only once. And it is surmisings. It says the definition is supposing something's true without having the evidence to prove it. And you know, we think about, okay, faith is a substance of things hoped for. Okay, that's not what this is talking about. In this verse, what it's talking about is evil surmisings. Yes. And not just sinful things, but what about when I'm thinking something negative about a person that I believe it as if it is true, and yet I don't have any evidence? I say, Lord, help me. We find over in 1 Corinthians 13, a lot of instruction, and it's talking to us about love and the importance of it. And I want to be able to have it working in my life. 1 Corinthians 13 and 5, it's talking about charity. It says it does not, here's the indicators that I can see if I have it. It does not behave itself unseemly. It does not seek her own. It's not easily provoked. And it thinketh no evil. I look at this. Commentary said it's not disposed to think that there was any evil intent, even in cases that might irritate us. That I would be able to look on a situation and instead of trying to see the worst that it could be, the worst intent they had, charity would cause me to not think evil of it, but to be saying, you know what, maybe they meant it this other way. Yes. Thinketh no evil. That sixth verse says, it does not rejoice, rejoices not in iniquity. Commentary on that says, it does not take pleasure in hearing others accused. Have you ever had this happen in your life to where you had somebody that had offended you and you're kind of marking them, you're watching them, and when you see them caught up in something wrong, something can kind of happen inside. If nothing else, it would be, I told you so. Charity does not rejoice in iniquity. It does not take pleasure in hearing others accused of sin and in having it proved that they committed it. You know what I find from all these things is the Lord's trying to give us a lesson. And what he says is, it's going to come to you. You're going to have offenses come to you, but I want to show you how to make it around them. David, to me, was a good example of that. David realized, you know what, God just allowed this man to curse me. You know, if we would take this concept throughout our life, what a difference it would make. Yes. What about just when we're driving down to Oklahoma City to go to work? I watched it happen to somebody just as I was coming in last week. Somebody's in the fast lane, they're driving too slow, and somebody is just, I see them pass me 75 or 80 mile an hour, and then they're going to slam on their brakes right up to the bumper of this one and maybe flashing their lights. And when they get a chance, they whip around them. They get in front and then they slam on brakes to where I see this car has to slam on his brakes. And he's flashing his lights to let them know what they did wrong. How would it be if I would instead say, you know what, the Lord needs me to learn a little bit of patience here. Let me just back off. Don't flash my lights. Let me just take these things as being something from the Lord. I've told you before, whenever I was going one day to work, and I saw, you know, you can have some, a little feeling build up, just, I've got this schedule that I'm supposed to be on, I'm supposed to be at work at a certain time, and all these things are happening to disturb that. It's, I'm going to be late now because there's traffic is backed up. And I could feel that just kind of building up, and there's a certain time where I need to call in to let them know I'm going to be late, and I'm thinking maybe this thing will clear up and I'll still make it. Well, the time came where I'm not going to make it, so I've got to call them, and 8 o'clock came, and I'm still in this traffic jam, and I'm just kind of tense when my phone makes a ding, and it was a scripture of the day, and it said, "Ye have need of patience." Now, how that thing could have hit at that time, I thought, you know what, the Lord must have done this special just for me. Well, I asked Cheryl about it that evening. She said, no, said it came on my phone too. But it was just time just right to help me to realize, you know, we can take these things and they can be an irritation to us. Or I can say, Lord, what about in this one right here? There might be something that you want to help me with. And this charity chapter goes into some areas where in the 7th verse, it says, here's what charity can do. It beareth all things. It says, a person under the influence of this love never makes the sins, the faults, or the imperfections of any man the subject either of censure or conversation. If he's privy to them alone, he retains the knowledge of them in his own bosom as far as he ought. And I say, when I look at some of these things, Lord, help me. Yes. To be careful to, what is my purpose for spreading this news? It beareth all things. It also believeth all things. It said it's ever ready to believe the best in every person. You know, sometimes I can have the attitude where I can see the worst in an offender. Yeah. Don't see any good coming from it. But I'm asking the Lord, you know what? I got a fresh calendar this year. There's a lot of things I can do with it in attitudes. And so what I'd like to do is ask the Lord fresh right up here at the beginning of January. Lord, help me to be able to recognize offenses are going to come. It said it's impossible that they won't come. And also when I read the rest of that and I say, woe to them by whom it cometh, help me to not look around at those that have offended me, but to realize, you know what, that price tag is set on me offending other people. Lord, help me to be careful that I not be an offense to others. Believeth all things. And then it comes to a point where, what does it say? He hopeth all things. It says, when there is no place left for believing good about a person, then love kicks in again with a hope and an anticipation of the repentance of the transgressor. You know, always not moving down to the lowest and letting them go, but always having a desire for them to be able to get help.
Yes.
The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. You know, I want to have these not just a memory verse for me to say. The fruit of the Spirit, and is it just happenstance that the very first one of it is love? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Will that be activated, need to be activated when an offense comes to me? I believe so. Look at this other word, gentleness. You know, that's very valuable when offense has come to me.
Yeah.
There's a song that we sing, Lord, with thy gentleness, I would be great.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord, at a time when he could have said a whole lot of things, it said he answered them not a word. So I'm saying, you know what, I would like to be, we sing a song, More Like Christ, My Heart is Praying. A place to be able to really use that is when offenses start coming to me. Long suffering, gentleness, meekness. What does it say? Meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. May I be able to have it in my life. There's one more verse that I'd like for us to look at. 1 Peter. Because there's some places that, as we look at these, I want to be able to gain from them. I'd like to be able to do better this next year. 1 Peter 4 and 8. Above all things, have fervent charity.
Yes.
Remember where it's talked about love, you lost your first love. I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm. This fervent is not the lukewarm state. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So I'd like for us to be looking at this subject, because there are some other places for us to go with it. When offenses come, you know, sometimes we will be, and we can look at this again later, but we will be in the middle of the offense, maybe between two other people. Have you ever had it happen? You happen to find yourself tangled up in the middle of it. And I'll just, for us to have food for thought for maybe next time, it gives us instruction about that also. He that meddleth with strife, not pertaining to him, is what? Like taking a dog by the ears. And he wasn't your friendly pet that he loves being taken by the ears. This is one that would have bit you if you hadn't got him by the ears first. And now the longer you hang on, the longer he logs memory of what he's going to do just as soon as you let go. I have gotten involved in things before. Looking back, I say, I don't know why I did it. I even went to Brother Stanley for advice, and he advised me not to do it. But I felt like this is the right way to go. And it was about money being involved. And he said, you could lose your money trying to help that. And I thought, I see this is the right way to go. Then the money's gone, and I go back to Brother Stanley, and I say, Brother Stanley, where is the verse that a fool and his money are soon parted? He started laughing because he knew what I'd done. But you know, sometimes we can get mixed up in the middle of somebody else's offenses and find, boy, it would have been better. There's verses for us. Blessed are the peacemakers. Lord, help me. Because in 2024, offenses are going to come. Help me come out at the end of 2024, having gained from those. The ones that are pointed toward me, and you know, I say, well, maybe I don't know their intent. What if somebody is so forceful that they will say, just in case you don't know my intent, I'll tell you why I'm doing this to you. Okay, what do you do with that one? We move to another level where Jesus knew what their intent was, and he still said, Father, forgive them. I want to be, this year, more like Christ. This place where offenses are going to come to us, it will happen to us all. Lord, help us to walk with a carefulness that we be able at the end of this year to be able to say, Lord, you were pleased with my life. Or better yet, to have him say he was pleased. I desire your prayers.